You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
Well, praise the Lord, men, women of God, mighty men of valor. Oh, glory to God. Happy 4th of July in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank God for you. We got Pastor Paul up in here, WMIE, WWBC, WJFP, all of those W's.
Is this wrestling or something?
Well, you're going to have to ask Pastor Paul that. But we thank God for him today, and we thank God for this radio station and them doing what they do.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And we thank God for you here in Brevard County listening in. I have my wonderful friend, oh glory to God, minister of the gospel, oh glory to God. I'm trying to think of something else to say, but it just, you know.
Don't hurt yourself, sir. Good morning.
How you
everyone.
Doing? How you doing, Minister Alex?
Just
oh
great.
Glory
just
to God.
Great.
Well, first off, I want to give a shout out to my beautiful wife of 31 years, 32-ish, somewhere around in there, you know, having a brain fart.
You know you're going to pay for that later.
And we thank God for her, amen, and the people of VIP, Victory International Praise. We give God the glory and the honor on today. Oh, glory to God. Go ahead and say something real quick, man, to God, and we're going to jump right into this word.
Well, I just want to say good morning to God's people out there. It's a wonderful time that we live in.
Amen.
It's a wonderful time that we live in. The Bible talks about in the book of Isaiah how in the last days darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness to people. He said, but God's glory will rise on his people and we shall shine like the noonday sun. And do not be afraid of the darkness that you see. Just let the God on the inside of you come out. This God has us here for this time, and we are... God has put us in a position where we're going to be able to show off who he is.
Yes.
So accept the time that you're in and enjoy it.
Amen.
Enjoy it.
Wow, that was powerful. My God, the best is yet to come.
Yes.
We thank God. Thank God for the mother of our church, Mother Linda Boris. How you doing, woman of God? And we want to go ahead and just get started in the word of God. Oh, glory to God. So if you got a Bible, if you're listening in, go to Genesis chapter 11. Oh, glory to God. And we're going to start at verse 26. Let's start at verse 26. And let me see. Get my little notes ready here. All right. And the Bible says, and Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, Haran, and Haran begat Lot. Verse 28. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity. You know, man of God, I'm concerned with some of the things that I'm seeing in the body of Christ. It concerns me. It really bothers me when I see our children die, and they're dying before us, and they're dying in the world. Come on, Terah was lived in a nation that was full of idolatry, a sinful nation. And so we see the Bible says that his son died before him. Oh, glory to God. I just want to throw that in there before I read down a little bit further. The Bible says that and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Michal, dropping down to verse 30. But Sarah was barren, and she had no child. She couldn't birth anything. You know, man of God, I'm also thankful that God didn't allow me to birth some things when I was in the world or unsaved. Come on. I realized that if I would have came or had millions of dollars, it probably would have made a person like me very difficult, made it very difficult for me to come in to the body of Christ. I tell people that Satan can bless his people. Come on. Absolutely. Sometimes we think that, you know, he can't bless his people, but he can bless his people, you know. And so, and we serve the Lord. Oh, glory to God. You got anything you want to say before I go a little further?
You can keep going. I'm enjoying the ride right now. Keep going.
All right. I'm just setting this thing up. And sometimes you got to set it up. So we're just kind of setting it up. And so Sarah was barren. And the Bible says, Terah, and this is the father. This is the father of Abram, who eventually became Abraham, took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth from them, Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Now, look at this, man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. What happened to Nahor? First off, you get Haran. Haran dies, glory to God, in the world. But then here's Nahor. Nahor stayed behind. Nahor remained. You know, when you look at the name Nahor, his name, one of the meanings of the name Nahor is hot. Hot. Because sometimes we can start off hot for the things of God, and then we can cool off and find ourselves back in the world. Come on. Because where was he heading? He was heading to Canaan. Come on. Terah was taking his family. A lot of scholars, a lot of historians believe that God first moved upon Terah to get up and to go into the promised land, or to get up and to go into Canaan, which became Israel. Come on. It was the promised land. It was the land of promises. You just don't get up and take off and stuff and move your whole family and your children unless there's a purpose. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I could probably do it myself. But come on, if I start pulling on my son, say, you know, hey, let us all get up and move to Louisiana. Come on, there might be a little bit of a problem there. But here he is. Everybody's moving, and they're moving to Canaan, Canaan representing the promised land. But Haran had died. Nahor did not come with them. Nahor remained behind. Nahor's name means hot. Sometimes the people of God can start off hot, come on, and get stuck. You got anything you want to say? I know you do. No?
Well, no, I'm just listening right now. I'm just listening. My apologies, but I'm just listening.
Because I know that you probably know, and I know people that started off hot. Come on.
Yeah.
Started off running for God. Started off, with all kinds of zeal. And then you look around and you say, where are they now? You're still taking a journey. But what happened to the Nahors? What happened to the people that were, you know, hot and became cold? And sometimes we have to leave Nahors. Okay, all right. I don't even know if I want to say that yet.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Yep. All right. Because now I'm thinking of stuff now. Talk about, you know, why did Nahor stay behind? First thing that popped in my head was Mark 4. You know, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things enters in and chokes the word.
Yeah.
And you become unfruitful. It never entered my mind until you just said that, you know, God was probably speaking to that whole family to move to the promised land. And Terah moved, you know, his family, and one of his sons stayed behind. That means something else was more of a priority to him than the command of God.
You know,
and that's why after this here, we don't hear nothing in the Bible about Nahor again.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Come to think of it, you hear more about the, okay, all right. We won't. All right, yeah. Cause boy, I tell you what. Now you just open up a can of worms. And so here they are. They're going forth, you know, or some Bibles may say forward. You know, and I love the word forward in the Bible, because when you look it up or you study this word out, it means to prosper. But anyways, I won't go too far into that. And the Bible says they went forth with them. He went forth with them. They went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, hold up now. He had a son named Haran. Come on. He had a son named Haran. Blows me away, man of God, because there are some times that, you know, you'll see people and they'll love something so that they'll name their child after what they love.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen somebody name their kid Mercedes?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Because they love Mercedes. They don't even have to have a Mercedes. Come on. But they want a Mercedes. And so they name their child Mercedes. As a matter of fact, there's a brother around here. Awesome business. He takes old Cadillacs and he refurbished the Cadillacs, and as a matter of fact, they call him Cadillac, and his children are named after, you know, one. There's one named DeVille, and there's one, you know. Anyways, he's named his children after these vehicles. Why? Because he loves these types of vehicles. Oh, glory to God! And so here we see that Terah went as far as to name one of his children Haran. Oh, glory to God. Because now we're about to see something. We're about to see that Terah, instead of going all the way to the promised land, instead of going all the way to Canaan, which became Israel, oh, glory to God, he stops in Haran and never makes it out of Haran. Okay, all right, let's read that. The Bible says, and the days of Terah, because I'm saying all of this, man of God, I'm saying all of this because we can't be, and let me pull my little notes here, we can't be loyal to nothing. Come on. We can't be faithful to nothing. What are you adhering to? What are you devoted to? What are you committed to? What are you paying homage to? Come on. Oh, glory to God. That'll stop you from fulfilling the plans of God, that will stop you from going all the way, not just halfway, but all the way, because Haran was halfway. And a lot of Christians, a lot of people of God have gotten on the road and have stopped and only gone halfway. Oh, glory to God. Because the Bible says the days of Terah were 205 years. Now, 200 is the number that represents insufficiency, but 5 is the number that represents what? Grace. I think everybody in the body of Christ know that. It's the number that represents grace. And so because it's insufficient in us, we don't have the ability. Come on. This is why we have to take on God's righteousness. The children of Israel found out in the Old Testament, man, we can't do this thing. We need some help. Come on. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says, apart from God, I can do nothing. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And so we're insufficient, but God gives us his grace. Come on. To take the journey. Come on. To fulfill the mission, to fulfill the call, to fulfill what he's, you know, called us to do, the purpose, the plan, the agenda of God. Oh, glory to God. You got anything you want to say, man of God?
Just wanted to say, you talk about how like the number 200 means insufficient. And it's almost like because Terah didn't choose to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
He planted his feet where God didn't tell him to plant his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He died there because of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. And but he had a son that would continue to obey. So God gave him grace.
Yeah.
So, you know, Terah died here because his obedience was insufficient. But the grace was passed on to his son Abraham to keep
now,
going.
Now you all in the verse 12. You all in the chapter 12 now.
What? I'm sorry. Well, 12 comes after 11. I'm sorry.
Now let's look at this here, because the Bible says that Terah stopped in Haran. You know, apparently I don't think they really stopped to stay there initially.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might have stopped just, you know, how you on a vacation or you on a trip and you stop for gas, you stop for something to eat. Oh, glory to God, because if we remember his purpose was to go to Canaan. Canaan became, and I keep saying this, Canaan became Israel. Come on. Canaan represents the promised land. That was the purpose of Terah. But Terah stopped in Haran. Oh, glory to God. Now, Haran means place of the dead or rest. Place of the dead or rest. Because sometimes we stop in dead places. Come on. Sometimes we rest in dead places. Come on. And then we find ourselves stuck in a dead place. Ah, glory to God. Can't wake up from that deep sleep, that deep rest. Because also, Terah name means to what? To delay. Because what has God called you to do that you're delaying? Come on. You're procrastinating. Here's Terah. Come on. He's procrastinating. Oh, glory to God. He has stopped. As a matter of fact, he stopped in a place that he loved so much, he named his son after the place. He named his son Haran. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And now he's stuck in Haran. But the purpose and the mission was to go all the way to the promised land. Oh, glory to God. This is why scholars believe that God had originally called Terah, oh, glory to God, to bring his family out and to go into the promised land or the land of Canaan, which became Israel. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Because you need to understand that if there are things that if God has called us to do and we don't do it, we're not willing to fulfill it, God will go to the next person.
Oh, glory to God. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. God always gets his way in the long run. The question is, are you going to be a part of it or are you going to not be a part of it?
Amen.
Yeah. I was just, imagine last night, you noticed a steamroller. Said, you know, God's steamrolling through some things right now. You can either be behind the steamroller or in front of it.
Yes.
But yeah, God always gets his way in the long run.
Because, man of God, we're dealing with something. We're looking at the body of Christ, and almost it's like, you know, and I was preaching this for years, and I said there's gonna come a time where you're gonna know the difference between a Christian and because it almost seemed like there's a separation also going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have Christians that are still siding. Come on. You have Christians that are still siding. They're so in love. Let me say this here. You cannot be in love with anything more than you are in love with God.
Okay.
You cannot be in love with a political party more than you are in love with God. Come on, somebody.
Uh-oh.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. You cannot be in love. Because a lot of us are in love with things. Come on. You know, what is that called when you get pulled over? When you get pulled over and you're riding with someone and they got a car full of drugs. Okay, they got a car full of all kinds of stuff. Let me just say this here. I almost wanted to say they got a car full of stuff. And it's the wrong type of stuff. You get pulled over. The policeman is going to take what? Both of you all to jail, right? Why?
Yeah.
Because he calls that a what? An accomplice. Come on.
An accomplice, yeah.
You can't be so in love that some of these political leaders got such a demonic and devilish agenda. Come on. That you become an accomplice. Okay, I'll say it that way. I'll be sweet about it. You can't put nothing ahead of God. Oh, glory to God. Nothing ahead of your beliefs. Oh, glory to God. You know, lately I have been having to deal with a lot of people that have been approaching me about this black Israelite stuff. Oh, glory to God. Got 7 minutes. Black Israelite stuff. And I told one particular person, I said, you can't put nothing ahead of God. You can't put your race. Come on, because if you approach me and you are exalting race, you exalting your race. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You ain't exalting Jesus. You ain't exalting God. You in love with your race. Come on. You're bound by the spirit of jealousy. Oh, glory to God. Jealousy. You're so jealous for your race that you're willing to step on other races. Come on. The body of Christ has to get delivered from the spirit of jealousy. Come on. Well, you can't be so jealous for your kind. Oh, glory to God, that you're willing to step on another kind. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit preaching better than we saying.
Yes.
Amen. And so a lot of people in the body of Christ, You're in love with your race. Come on. You have, okay, all right. You're loyal to your race. You need to repent. You're loyal. You're more faithful to your race than you are to God. Come on. You're more devoted to your race, committed, dedicated to your race than you are to God. Oh, glory to God. This might be ruffling some feathers out there.
And needs to, because you know that whole Black Israelite thing. It's just the Bible talks about jealousy is a work of the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you stop and think about it, I mean, if black flesh,
yeah,
it's flesh. It's literally flesh. And the Bible talks about the works of the flesh, but also, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take the word of God for what it is. Paul said that if you sow to the flesh, then from your flesh you'll reap corruption. Now check that. He said if you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption. Where do you reap the corruption from? Your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
If you sow to your flesh, your destruction is going to come through your flesh.
Ooh,
and you know, you and I are both black, and you know, we're talking to different cultures and races out there right now in this program, but I'm going to use the black culture as an example. We spend so much time promoting our black flesh, we're sowing to it.
Yeah.
And when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption and destruction. Isn't it interesting how we spend all our time sowing to our skin color and we're dying from our skin color?
Yep, that's right.
Literally dying from our skin color. I was actually talking to someone about this last week. It's like for every I'm not getting sidetracked. This is just an example. Just an example for us to learn from. For every 1,000 black men that are murdered in this country, 970 are murdered by black men. Mm-hmm. We sow to the flesh, we reap from the flesh.
Ooh, that's good.
If you sow to the spirit, you reap from the spirit life. God told me this a long time ago, back in 2003. He said, you need to make a choice. Are you going to be a black man or a Christian man?
My God.
Because you can't be both at the same time, because you're going to be loyal to one more than the other.
Ooh.
He said, make a choice. Are you going to be a black man or are you going to be a Christian man? You know, we talk about the black race, the white race, the Asian race, the human race, but God started a new race. It's called the Christian race.
Yes, yes.
Christians are a new race of people. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That phrase, new creature, when you look it up in the Strong's, it means a new species.
Yes.
A new species of man. We are. If you've been truly born again, you're not just a black man that got saved. Yeah. You're not a white man that got saved. You're not an Asian man. You have been transformed from the inside into something totally different.
Yes.
Your outside might look the same as far as color, but your insides are totally different.
Yes.
And when you start lining up with what happened on the inside, it transforms everything. I'm a black man on the outside, but on the inside, I'm a Christian man.
Yes.
So I choose to identify with the Christian part of me first.
The greater part.
Hello, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why do we spend all our time focusing on what the world sees and we don't focus on what God's put on the inside?
Yeah.
That's why Paul said, if you sow to your flesh, you reap corruption from your flesh. Sow to the spirit of God that's inside of you, then from the spirit of God inside of you, you reap life everlasting.
Ooh-wee.
Do you want death or do you want life?
Come on. My God.
What you going to pay attention to?
It's amazing that you're saying that, because, you know, that's one of the mistakes. The Jewish people were supposed to promote holiness, and they became racist. My God. And then they were born again, there was many that were born again, they were trying to convert the Jewish people, convert the Gentiles to be Jews.
Yeah.
Come on. And we take the word of God and try to do the same thing. We try to convert it to our race. Come on. Instead of, my God, we're a nation within a nation. And that nation is made up of black, white, yellow, brown. My, there's even blue people. Come on. My God. God even made blue people. Oh, glory to God. Man, because let me show you something. God is love. And if you have a spirit of jealousy, you're so jealous for your race that you're willing to step on another race, you're not walking in love. Oh, glory to God. You're drinking haterade. Come on. You're hearing the wrong message. You're walking in hatred. Come on. Oh, glory to God. God is love. Ah, boy, you know what?
We just started.
We got to go. We got to stop. We got to stop.
We still got a couple minutes.
Yeah, hang on, those that are listening by social media, because we're going to go into part two, but this is the Monday broadcast, but we're going to do Monday and Tuesday. So I want you to hang in there. We got to close out. So We thank God for you. Thank God for you listening in. You know, the thing about it is that sometimes when you recognize something on the inside of you, you got to repent. Oh, glory to God. You got to repent. You're called to be a Christian. Oh, glory to God. And you, and because sometimes we have made the mistake of just putting jealousy in one category and not realizing that we could be jealous also about other things. And so, Father, oh, glory to God. So, Father, forgive us. Forgive the body of Christ. I repent for the body of Christ. We got to get delivered, people. Forgive the body of Christ. Help us, God.
Yes.
Help us to come together. Oh, glory to God. In the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. I hope a lot of people are saying, Lord, I see it in me. Forgive me. I repent. All right, man of God, we think now you woke up. I think you didn't have your coffee, did you? You didn't have your coffee. I should have woke you up early. I know. I just called him at the last moment to join me down here. We love you all. We thank God for you. Thank God for it. Hey, Prophetess Benita. Let's see. We got who is that? Prophetess and Pastor Sam Burness Jackson, all the way in Jacksonville. Amen. Thank God for our mother of the church listening in, Mother Linda. All right, we're coming right back at you. What, we got 25 seconds?
Yes, sir.
Got anything to say in 25 seconds?
Just repent is a good thing. Repent means, from literally the word means, to think again and to reconsider. So when you can't reconsider and think differently unless you hear something different.
Amen.
So don't be afraid to hear something different.
Amen. That's amen. All right. God bless you. We love you. And we will see you Tuesday. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening in to Kingdom Sounds. Be sure to listen in Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Our service times are Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. and Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. If you have a prayer request, you can send it in to vipministries@att.net. We are located at 250 North Babcock Street in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. VIP is empowering God's people to overcome what's overcoming them and mobilizing them to impact society. Our prayer is that God will bless you and keep you, that He will make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Be blessed.
In much of the world, slavery is unthinkable. Could we ever get to that place with abortion in America? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonetree. This is Breakpoint. Just as there were once states where it was legal to own slaves and other states where it wasn't, we've now become a nation in which certain states allow, encourage, even subsidize abortion, and in other states where abortion is basically illegal. In this time and place, as in that one, Christ has placed His people to be agents of His kingdom. The history of the church's stance on both issues, abolition and abortion, can be instructive to us as we seek to follow Him in a post-Roe world. Though the early church did not like slavery, it did not push for the legal abolition of slavery. The New Testament condemns all kinds of behaviors that were endemic to the slave trade. In his letter to Philemon, Paul gives broad hints that masters should free their Christian slaves. In fact, early Christians often would purchase slaves specifically in order to set them free. Yet, neither the New Testament nor the early church pushed for abolition. There are two possible reasons for this. First, taking a public stand on this issue would have brought even more unwanted attention to an already targeted group. Second, the ancient world offered no model whatsoever to Christians for a society without slaves, so few could even imagine what that could possibly look like. By the Middle Ages, overt slavery was rare in Europe. Church leaders spoke out against it. Thomas Aquinas claimed that slavery might be part of the law of nations, but it was against the law of nature, and therefore was a sin. When, centuries later, the infamous Atlantic slave trade would begin, the rampant practice of slavery found opposition among Quakers and a rising evangelicalism that eventually ended first the slave trade, then slavery altogether. Now, all of this means that the American theologians who defended slavery were following the culture's lead, not church teaching. Though it